am honored tonight by the people of Alabama to be the Republican nominee for the office of governor of the state of Alabama.
But, the victory lap from last night at Governor Kay Ivey. No runoff. No runoff for the Democrats, either in the gubernatorial cycle, but definitely some runoffs in the mix. Talk all about it this hour. I'd love to hear from you as well at 343-0106. So by the way, that was Prince, Baby, I'm a Star. That's probably is very fitting.
Yeah, she probably walked out onto the stage with that song.
As Governor Ivey easily wins the nomination of the Republican Party. Joining us, our friend Jeff Poor from Breitbart, Lanyap, Yellowhammer News, and a man that was busy late into the evening last night on WVNN radio up in Huntsville. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for having me on.
A pleasure. So you probably should have stuck to your guns early on when you said, Sullivan, KIV has no problem here. I think if we could take back, you know how you can do on Windows, you can reset to an earlier date if you're trying to fix something in a Windows program. If you could reset to an earlier date, you would be on here telling me I'm an idiot thinking there's any chance of a runoff.
Well, you know what I would say is I kind of bought into the media hype in Alabama. All the auction was the other than Ivy candidates. And I think I'm not alone here either. I just didn't see how she could get the 50 plus one. But I think here's the takeaway. This just shows you how irrelevant a lot of the media in Alabama are when it comes to these things. You look at some of these counties beyond the big populations, and it's 70-80% for Kay Ivey. So, the reach of the media, we always talk about how it's very city-focused, city-centric. And I just think what they were talking about didn't matter. People were going to go with Kay Ivey.
Okay, but, name brand goes a long distance, and I guess name brand goes a long distance if you're not engaged in the conversation. It's weird to see, the unscientific polling that we do here at the station, or just my matter-of-fact polling that we do talking to folks for 5 hours on the radio every day, that those are people that are, I tell you, this audience is high-graded. It's an engaged audience when it comes to politics, but everybody else who just realized a week ago the primary was yesterday, as long as the state is not actively on fire, they're like, okay, we'll just stick with what we got.
Yeah, I suppose, but you still got to get these people out to the polls. They need a reason. They need some kind of motivation to get out to the polls. And we were talking about the Wiregrass during the break a little bit about, and that might have something to do with it, why she was able, that might have been her saving grace, the Wiregrass having a contested congressional race. I did everybody looking at that ballot, not really having a dog in the fight. Tommy Battle, North Alabama, Scott Dawson, Birmingham, and Bill Hightower down in Mobile, and there's not really a Wiregrass candidate, and they just by default go to Ivy, and that gives her a little bit of a bump. I think that's worth 3-4 percentage points right there. So it's things like that that we've got a Monday morning quarterback and try to figure out what happened there.
Yeah, Kevin, walk us through the Representative Roby. I mean, I think people are familiar with the name, but maybe not the day-in and day-out politics of this. One of the national shows that precedes our show, I was listening to them this morning, and the way they set the headline was looking around the country, the effect of Trump, and where he, helped people and where it didn't do any good. And they said Martha Roby, who stood against, was contrary to Donald Trump, took her lumps for that in Alabama. Do you think that's the reason she had such a challenge?
No, motivated some people to run against her. I think it's what motivated Barry Moore and Rich Hobson to run against her. I don't think it's what motivated the other person who's going to be in the runoff, Bobby Bright, to run against her. But here's what happened, and this is pretty simple. Rich Hobson and Barry Moore both running against Roby because she was a somebody turned on Trump. Wanted to split that vote in half. Furthermore, both of those candidates were Wiregrass candidates. One was, I believe, they were both from that same area, so they both split their vote up, and they both diluted their own vote. And really, that district's a strange district. What they did is they made a Wiregrass district and parts of Montgomery, and it's made it possible where the parts of Montgomery part of that district dominates the rest of the politics of the Wiregrass. So the Montgomery candidate is going to come out, with a better shot. So we had two Montgomery candidates, two Wiregrass candidates. and the two Montgomery candidates win, I think that tells you what you need to know.
All right. Yeah, don't.
Jeff, I got to ask you, what happened with Bill Hightower's campaign? I think a lot of people expected his results, expected him to gather more votes yesterday, but coming in with only 5% of the votes at the end of the night.
I was never convinced that he, I think this is, to me, he was always running a get-to-know-you campaign around the state. But what he needed was some kind of gimmick. He needed some kind of Will Ainsworth thing saying that he wanted to arm teachers or something to give him some name ID. Oh, that's the guy that does this. He ran on a lot of the conservative philosophy, and a lot, I mean, I know a lot of that sells, but it just doesn't have, you know, it doesn't make you pop in your mind when you hear conservative. You don't just think Bill Hightower. I think there's a lot of things lacking structurally from that campaign on the messaging side. But that being said, it's just hard for a Mobile candidate to get statewide. You know, that's just, and the same can be said for up here in Huntsville. It's hard from these ends of the state to really get into, penetrate that Birmingham market.
Well, yeah, there is. I mean, there's a geographic issue to deal with, but also I think you mentioned it, and he's been called the ideas candidate and all that. And it's quite often like when there's a TV show. If I ever watch TV shows and I say I like this show, so get ready for it to be canceled. I realize that my taste is not always what's popular, and I think you're right because the ideas. Okay, for example, talking about the fair tax, right? Something I don't do. Don't start calling. You know, I stopped doing it on the show years ago because it's just not getting. It just doesn't get traction. It's a the wonkier things that I love. I mean, red meat for me and policy folks out there are not the things that lead the day. I mean, look at the President of the United States. He didn't get into specific policy. I mean, he got into big, broad, arching feelings, not things.
Well, and let's say it like this, though. When you're running against somebody, you've got to run against something. And you're running against what KIV did. He didn't really ever do that. Battle did a little bit, but he didn't really ever run against anything. He ran on all these ideas of how to make things better, but people were like, well, things are pretty good right now.
Okay, you mentioned a second ago talking about getting a gimmick like Will Ainsworth, which brings me to, and we're jumping around here, but in the lieutenant governor's primary for the Republicans here, were people, the 37% that voted for Will Ainsworth, Representative Will Ainsworth, did they come out to vote for him, or did they vote against Twinkle Kavanaugh? I mean, because I with, once again, unscientific, but looking at the emails I get, the text I get, there's people that are sick of seeing that name running for something in the state of Alabama.
I think maybe a little bit, but not as much as you probably that shows. What I think he just had the gimmicks. He threw a bunch of Hail Marys. He hit all the right buttons at the right time, and that opened up a pathway to him to the runoff. And I, you know, here's a hot take here. Suddenly Marshall County is ground zero. This is going to be a low turnout event, this runoff, because there's nothing at the top of the ticket for people to go and show up at the polls for. Marshall County had one of its biggest nights in the Republican primary in ages because you had Steve Marshall and Will Ainsworth, both from the Gunnersville area, and on the ballot. And I think those folks will really show up more than anywhere else in the county, and that makes it a player in the Alabama Republican Party's primary runoff.
All right, we come back from the break. I want to talk more about runoffs out there, and you mentioned one, as the Attorney General will be running against the Attorney General, well, the former Attorney General, as we get into discussion of Marshall versus King and a whole lot more with Jeff Poor, checking in live from Huntsville, right here on Mobile Mornings.
Thank you, Kane. 822 here on FM Talk 106.5. This segment of Mobile Mornings brought to you by LinkedIn. You probably already know that the right hire can have a huge impact on your business. So it's very crucial that you make your job post reach the most qualified candidates. You can do that by posting on job boards, but if you do that, do you really know who's going to see the job posting? When you post your job on LinkedIn, it reaches 70% of the U.S. workforce. And unlike those job boards, LinkedIn is a community that career-focused people visit every day so that they can grow professionally and explore job opportunities. LinkedIn Jobs intelligently targets candidates based on their skills, their recommendations, even how open they are to new opportunities like yours. And those insights are only available on the LinkedIn network. The result is that your post is matched to the best people for the job. It's probably why a new hire is made every 10 seconds using LinkedIn. And right now, you can go to LinkedIn.com/WAVH to get a $50 credit towards your first job post. That's LinkedIn.com/WAVH for your $50 credit. Terms and conditions do apply. LinkedIn, you're closer than you think. 823 now on FM Talk 106.5. Back to our conversation with Jeff Poore. And I think some people went to the voting polls yesterday. I'm not sure, though.
Well, not a ton, though. And that's one of the things we were talking about. And Jeff, it was earlier in the 7 o'clock hour, had Secretary of State John Merrill on, and he was talking about turnout or lack thereof. And he pointed out, because I was talking about yesterday at my polling place, the numbers were, because I voted around the same time each time that I vote, same time of day. And the numbers were way lower than they were for the special election back in December. And he pointed out that, I guess, statistically, that more people come out for a general than do a primary. Now, I have my own beef with that because I think, you know, you got to make sure your person's in the general to vote for them. But I got to ask, what, you know, you had one race for the Senate special. You had, you know, even to the back of the page yesterday to vote for. There were a lot of items on. There had to be something that would have triggered somebody to come out and vote. And once again, though, anemic turnout.
Well, the national media really blew up the 2017 special election. It was on all the news. It was on, you know, like The Daily Show, Comedy Central. It was on. That's a whole different thing going there than what we saw yesterday, I think. So I think this is what we had last night was more the norm than the exception with 2017.
So do you sign on that we will have a big turnout in November?
All the enthusiasm, at least in midterms after presidential elections, tends to be on the Democratic side. Alabama's different. But I don't know, is there going to be anything contested on the ballot where Democrats have a shot and that will drive up turnout, especially in some places where Doug Jones did well, you know, some parts of Birmingham, the Black Belt, you know, parts of Montgomery and Mobile and North Huntsville and places like that. So, is there something there that will get people to the polls for turnout? Furthermore, is there any sort of anti-Trump, you know, the Trump, like, buyer's remorse enough to drive up turnout? I don't know that I really see that in Alabama, at least.
It would look like the Blue Wave folks were, I don't know, I mean, they jumped on me pretty quick on Twitter last night when I pointed out just the volume of votes in the Republican primary versus the Democrat primary. I was just rolling out some statistics, and they said, well, you know, you shouldn't be surprised. Well, then how do you win in November if that's true?
Let me caution people on that. You know, there are a lot more people to come out to vote in the Republican primary than the Democratic primary. But part of that reason, obviously, there are more Republicans in Alabama than Democrats. Mm-hmm. But the other big part of that that really drove up the GOP numbers, I think, was there's more interesting contested races on the Republican side. And there's a lot of Democrats to go and vote in Republican primaries because there's where all the action is, right? So that has kind of an effect on the Republican side to make the numbers a little bit bigger.
But the laws change. The laws change about crossover.
But you could still be a Democrat. You can still be a Democrat and vote in the Republican primary. You just cannot vote in a Democratic primary and vote in a Republican runoff.
Right,
because you don't register party affiliation in Alabama.
Right. So, but I mean, then that they can't cross over vote the other way. I see what you're saying. They could have done it yesterday, but they won't be able to do it in July nor November. Well, in November you can, but in July you can't.
If you're a Democrat and you voted in the Republican primary yesterday, you can participate in the runoff. But I think a lot of Democrats vote in Republican primaries just because that's where all, you know, all the candidates, all the races are decided. And in a lot of cases, in a lot of places in Alabama, you only have one person on the ballot on a Democratic side to vote for. I mean, obviously yesterday is different a little bit with Walt Maddox and Sue Bell Cobb at the top of the ticket. But everything down below the ballot, I mean, no one ran against Will Boyd for lieutenant governor on the Democratic side. You had, you know, you had Joe Siegelman and Chris Christie on the attorney general. No one's really interested in these races. So if you're a Democrat and you're just watching, you're going to probably vote in the Republican primary because it has more. There's more value in it.
Well, Jeff, a lot of people are giving Walt Maddox, I think, a better chance than they would have before that Senate special election last year. But do you think more Republicans will show out to the polls in November because of what happened with Doug Jones upsetting Roy Moore? Do you think they'll say maybe they didn't vote in that Senate special election because they thought the Republicans had it locked up no matter what? They're not going to make that mistake again, going to show out and vote for Ivey.
I don't know. I mean, getting into people's heads is why there's a lot of things going on with the, obviously Roy Moore and the controversy there. So the psychology is getting them to come out for Ivy. We get caught up in this stuff, and I think you just stick to the basics. Alabama's a Republican state. Alabama's probably going to go with Republican candidates in the general election unless there's some kind of circumstances that were similar to the 2017 special election where you have these sexual misconduct accusations hanging over your candidate's head. So to me, I don't know that, I think people will do what they do traditionally, normally, and I'm not sure. The only one variable here is the Democrats seem to be trending up. They have a little bit of infrastructure in place. They know how to turn out the vote. They have a network of people. They know where, to go put out yard signs and things like that. So they have a game plan. And does that game plan, maybe it makes it a little bit closer, but I still think you stick to the bread and butter and you just assume a set of conditions where Alabama is a Republican voting state.
I want to get back to some of these runoffs here. We were mentioning before we went to the news break about Twinkle Cavanaugh, Will Ainsworth in that runoff. Speaking of trending, you feel that Will Ainsworth is trending up while Twinkle Cavanaugh may be trending down.
Right, I thought right out of the gate that Twinkle hit her, Twinkle Cavanaugh hit her ceiling. I thought she was probably at peak Twinkle.
Peak Twinkle.
Coin term there. So, and she's kind of, she's still, she still come out ahead with the most votes last night, but Will Ainsworth started out, no name ID, polling in barely at double digits. He's trended way up. He's
he did
got the
spend
momentum.
A million.
She's trending down.
He did spend a million
right?
bucks.
He's
right?
got the. He's got the war chest. So to me, that race is, and I think we're going to have a low turnout in 6 weeks in July. And I think that plays in Ainsworth's favor as well. And as I said, Marshall County, you have places in North Alabama that will come out and vote for Will Ainsworth and Steve Marshall together. What does Twinkle have? Is she going to form a coalition with Troy King? Is that just seems like an unnatural fit.
Well, that's where I want to go. I've got to, and just have a minute left here before the next break. That runoff, Steve Marshall, 28% of the vote. Troy King, 28% of the vote. This is, and obviously that's percentages. There's 1,000 or so votes in between them with Steve Marshall, the incumbent, leading. Is this Steve Marshall's race to lose, or does he have to fight?
I think it's his to lose. I can't see these Alice Martin or Chess Betzel people really going to Troy King. I think Troy King's one of these guys running on the pass, name ID, just known. And this is going to be uglier than the lieutenant governor's race, I feel like.
All right. Jeff Poore with Breitbart. Lanyap, which, by the way, go vote in the nappies. And Yellowhammer News, thanks for the update. We'll be talking to you again very soon.
Thanks for having me on.
Always a pleasure when we have Jeff on. He has been doing a ton of work and great writing. Check him out online at Jeff_Poore, and we'll be right back. All right, 8:39, FM Talk 106.5, Mobile Mornings. Glad to have you here on this Wednesday. Lots to talk about. First of all, Midday Mobile at the Mobile Public Library today, noon to 2. And we'll do more analysis of what happened yesterday, talking with Rob Hulbert from Lanyap. That'll be happening in the noon hour. And quite possibly, we'll get into a mosquito discussion in hour number 2, as now the Aedes aegypti mosquito, the one that carries Zika, found again for the first time in 2 decades in Mobile. And we'll find out more about how you protect yourself from that. How does that mosquito look differently than the other one versus, by the way, side note, tiger mosquitoes like down at Dolphin Island that come out, the ones with the white stripe on them.
Oh,
those jokers are bad, man.
Yeah, they sound vicious.
They are. They're like the mosquitoes down there. There's another they're a little bit bigger and they're just more aggressive and they hurt more. But that we'll maybe talk some mosquitoes in hour number 2. Also, a lot of people have continued this theme that we started back in the 7 o'clock hour. We're talking about the stickers. right? The I voted stickers. And I saw yesterday on social media, some places in Alabama had the stickers as I voted and then the American flag in the shape of the state of Alabama. I feel like we got ripped off. We didn't get those around here. You didn't get them?
No, just your standard American flag. Nothing wrong with that, but just a little twist.
Like a collector's item thing.
Yeah, I think so. I think those could be worth more than 25 cents one day, possibly.
And then you brought up, well, what if they were scratch and sniff stickers? And we started getting texts and calls about what that might smell like. And a lot of good smells. Things like boiled shrimp, apple pie. People talking about, grilled oysters. Those kind of
Krispy Kreme donuts.
Krispy Kreme donuts smell like that. Gunpowder. I like the smell of cordite. I do like that smell. That, a good smell. Of course, predictably, there were a lot of people. Kaneka sausage on the good side.
Mm-hmm.
But then there were on the bad side, yeah, all the different number twos of the world, depending on who those came up in the mix as well. So scratch and sniff I voted stickers. What would they smell like? You can let us know at 343-0106, 343-0106. Also, want to remind you, you just heard the big voice guy, Jeff Davis, tell you about the Summer Better Than Others prize giveaway. Another great contest from FM Talk 106.5. And if you missed the detail, what he was saying, the reason we call it it's obviously a play on words, summertime, better than others. We feel our contests are better than the others because, y'all, we are an independently, locally owned radio station. We have no office somewhere else. The flagpole sits right here, just west of 65 on Airport Boulevard. You don't compete in our contest against people from across the fruited plain. Your odds of winning are down to the folks in Mobile and Baldwin County. And we have over $5,000 worth of prizes in this package. And someone right here, like all our other contests, wins that prize. Somebody, good chance you might know or know somebody that knows them.
Yeah, very, very high percentage chance that the winner of the grand prize this summer will have a 251 area code
right
in front of their phone number.
And that's just something I think I used to not point it out in the past because I thought, well, everybody knows that, but folks don't know that. I mean, the people that put you in these nationwide contests, they're not out advertising that, but that's the truth of it. It doesn't mean that somebody could win in our area, but most likely not. Our contest, it's 100% guarantee that a homeboy or a homegirl is going to win our contest. So whether that be the great things we do around football season or the promotions we do in the early spring or things we do in the later fall or the Christmas packages we do, somebody here locally wins those. So we're very proud of that and want to make sure you know that and make sure you get registered. The registration with this first week, we're just going to talk about the contest, and then starting next week, you're going to have a chance to get registered. But I want to thank our sponsors here. Cart Doctor, big thank you. Hey, Butch and Trish, thank you. Stephen, thank you. Goldfingers, my buddy Charlie Gray at Gray Golf Charters, the folks at the Carrot Patch, Old Time Feed, Philip and Miss Sarah and the whole crew at Mike Ward's Liberty Safes, big thank you to them as well as putting together this great package of items to win.
Yeah, and this contest we're running just a little bit differently than we have in the past. You'll be able to enter at a different store every week beginning next week, and we'll have that information updated on all of our social media pages and online. But if you want to see the specifics right now, our Facebook page, facebook.com/FMTalk1065, or our Instagram page, FMTalk1065, or just go to the website, FMTalk1065.com.
All right, and a lot of questions here, too, on specific races from yesterday. Cher was asking, have we found the results from the Mobile County Republican and Democrat committee races yesterday? Now, Cher, you are like one of seven people, this is not actually on the ballot, interested in it, but yeah, we can answer that. These would be the people that, these are the, at the bottom of your the bottom of your sheet when you're voting, you go down there and you see the listing here of people. These will be your delegates, right? We talk about the delegates. These are the people that are going to be the delegates. Let's see here. Which one do we want? And that, now I've lost them. just right when I started talking, we had them, and now I've lost them.
That's how it works.
Yeah, we will get those. I have those names for you on my list. Also, if you have questions about any of the we have some runoffs here locally. That's one thing when we're talking to Jeff about statewide runoffs. I want to get into some of the local runoffs as Alabama Senate District 32 for the Republicans runoff between Chris Elliott and David Northcutt. Also, we have, a runoff in, where was that next runoff? Oh, there's, by the way, there's not a runoff for the Democrats in District 99, even though there were nine candidates in that. AL Representative District 102, you got a runoff coming up between Shane Stringer and Willie Gray. I'll tell you what, we'll come back after the news break and give you some more of those and get you those committee member names right here on FM Talk 106.5. All right, 850 FM Talk 106.5. I'll tell you what, I will put this up. Put a link up as well on the Twitter feed at FM Talk 106.5 to all the results from yesterday, because some of the stuff I'm getting asked is pretty narrow, and so we'll just let you go there and check it out yourself. Some of the items are bigger and more statewide importance, and also statewide importance would be what should the if we had a scratch and sniff I voted sticker, what would it smell like? And we've had a lot of different suggestions out there. We'll get to your take on it. Thomas is in Theodore. Thomas, what would the scratch and sniff sticker smell like?
Snapper. The fake one. Vermilion.
Oh, you mean
2 days old.
Beeliner. Okay. All right. Beeliner. All right.
2 days old snapper.
Yeah, Vermilion snapper, which is different than the red snapper. Of course, that's lost on like any media company that's not just focused right here in Mobile. When they put up their graphics, they'll be like, "Oh, red snapper," and talk about the coast and all that, and they have a picture of. They are, I guess, technically red snapper. They're snapper that are red, but they're not red snapper. They'll be a beeliner or be a silky snapper or something.
But is there a difference in smell?
Not sure. Not sure.
There's only one way to find out.
Yeah, this smell. Okay, we're talking about some smells. Somebody said, I think the Alabama scratch and sniff sticker should smell like fresh cut grass, you know, when you cut in a field and it has that oniony smell. I like that smell, too. Mm-hmm. There's some of these came up like the smell of gunpowder. I like the smell of cordite, gunpowder. I like the smell of fresh cut grass. I do like that smell. Some people still talking about the paper mill. No, yeah, we don't have to have that here now.
There was one suggestion, though, and I don't think this was a typo. Bacon-wrapped swamp. Now, okay. One thing I enjoy, bacon.
Yes.
But the smell of a swamp, I'm not sure that those two mesh too well together, but I see what he was doing there.
Yes, the swamp and then the pork going around it. Now, this one I could get behind, crawfish. Well, but once again, is this cooked crawfish versus, because, you know, we do some crawfish trapping, and when you have a bunch of crawfish that are still alive and crawling all over each other there in the cooler and waiting to take their bath in with all the great seasonings, they're not the greatest smelling. Mm-hmm. Now, once they're cooked, oh, yeah, I'm on that.
Here's the newest one. I don't want to know what this smells. The smell of Sean's silky voice.
So I don't know what that smells like.
It's a suggestion.
Van says the mullet from Mullet Toss. Okay, Van, is it right when they're, you know, like the first people to throw when the mullet is frozen, or is it, you know what I'm talking about like the 46th uh-huh. throw, and you look at that mullet that's now caked in sand and dripping with
delish.
What smell? Which one is it? The fresh frozen mullet, or is that mullet later on in the day,
or even the people that are at Mullet Toss by the end of the weekend? That's not good.
Now you're getting nasty. All right. I want to run through, I mentioned some of the runoffs here locally that I think are going to be ones that people are talking about. And one of them for sure is going to be Baldwin County. And it is, you know, there was a lot of attention and activity around this state, Senate District 32. This Chris Elliott, of course, and David Northcutt, the two top vote getters in this. And the margin is interesting here, because only 6% difference between Chris Elliott and David Northcutt. 39% of the votes went for, right now, Baldwin County Commissioner Chris Elliott and local dentist David Northcutt with 33%. And you look at the other votes, Jeff Boyd, Orange Beach City Councilman, 21% of the vote. Bill Roberts, 7% of the vote. And I'll do what I do here, what I do with presidential politics. You got to ask your question. Number one, will the Jeff Boyd and Bill Roberts voters show back up for a runoff? Mm-hmm. That's always a question that's tough to answer. If you went out and voted in the primary, your person did not win, and other people are in the runoff, are you still compelled to go out and vote in that runoff since you don't actually have a vote to reinforce right? Do you go out? And if you do, then there's always a question, where do the votes break for whom?
And one big thing that Jeff Poore brought up earlier, without having that governor's race in a runoff, maybe fewer people. I mean, the biggest statewide race that went to a runoff is lieutenant governor. Mm-hmm. Is that going to be enough to pull the people out to the polls that want to vote in a big race but might not necessarily care about those smaller races?
I'm more and more cynical every day, and I say no. I mean, I'm embarrassed by some of the stats here. A race that I thought would go to a runoff that did not had 9 people in it. On the Democrat side, District 99, 9 people vying for the vacated seat for a long time, Representative Buskey. Sam Jones, former mayor of the city of Mobile, 57%. He gets 57% of the vote in a 9-person race. That's, I mean, if you're just looking at things just straight statistics, mm-hmm. and they're going to ask you where you think there'll be a runoff, in a race that you have 9 people, usually that would be the place, but that's not it.
Yeah, I was just going to say, more pieces of the pie, and there were about 5,500 votes cast for that race. Mm-hmm. Sam Jones, the only one over 1,000 votes received, and he got over 3,000 votes.
In AL District 102, House or State Representative District 102, this one, pretty narrow as well. You have Shane Stringer winning right now with 49% of the vote, Willie Gray, 44% of the vote, and Belinda Shaw with 7% of the vote. So that runoff, Stringer versus Gray, that's coming up. That's right here in Mobile County. That's a backyard runoff. That's what I'm saying. It's not just at the state level that we're looking at runoffs. We've got them coming in our backyard. Also, did we mention earlier the Ag Commissioner? Because of course, we all like hearing the Gerald Dahl commercial. Hopefully, we'll continue to hear it because he is in the runoff with Rick Pate. Let's see. Anything else here?
About that Attorney General's race? And that's going to a runoff. Steve Marshall and Troy King, mm-hmm. each getting 28%. But Steve Marshall, he got right around 1,000 to 2,000 more votes. But Chess Bedsole, I think of the 4 candidates, Steve Marshall, Troy King, Alice Martin, Chess Bedsole, Bedsole ran the most on being closest to Trump, you know, being part of that Alabama campaign.
I don't know
campaign.
Steve Marshall's spot. Attorney General Steve Marshall, pretty... They both were vying for Kenneth Mastrumpy. Mm. So, but and once again, like Jeff Poore said, if everybody claims to be the Trump candidate, then no one is, right?
Right, yeah.
All right, more runoffs as well. Mobile County District Judge plays 4. George Zogby, 48% of the vote. Spiro Chirigotis, 40% of the vote. Derek Williams, 12% of the vote. That will be going to runoff as well. You mentioned Mobile County Sheriff Sam Cochran easily winning the Republican nomination, 83% of the vote yesterday over Charlie Wyckoff. Also, Baldwin County Commission. Now, this was interesting, and I'm seeing texts from people, and we're going to engage in this a lot coming up on the midday show today. Was this a rebuke? Was this just a political cycle of people saying, hey, we want some new blood? Or is this a specific rebuke of whether, like somebody said to me earlier, the 1-cent tax, those kind of things? The person said the 1-cent tax permanent extension, because Baldwin County Commission District 1, Frank Burt Jr. losing to James Ball. That's now been certified. 52%, I think it looks like 100% in. 52% for James Ball, 48% for Frank Burt. Baldwin County Commission District 2. Now, you didn't have an incumbent there. Joe Davis and John Lake. Joe Davis winning 52% of the vote. Baldwin County Commission District 3. That's where incumbent Tucker Dorsey is now at 39%. Billy Joe Underwood, the challenger, 48%. William McDaniel, 13%. So you got a runoff coming there for Tucker Dorsey and Billy Joe Underwood. That's, once again, we're just going down the list of the Baldwin County Commission. Baldwin County Commission District 4 is the only one where the incumbent won one office. It's not going into a runoff. And that's Charles Gruber. And he won by 51% to 49.
Wow. Close races in those.
Big time close races. So the politics of that are going to be interesting. I'd love to hear from people today how they went and how they voted and why they voted that way.
I think one race that we haven't heard the end of, I think this will be a major story over the coming months, Alabama Public Service Commission Place 1, Jeremy Oden winning the race against Jim Bonner. Now, they just this last week said that the votes for Jim Bonner will not count, but he still gathered 50% of the vote. He had 3,000 votes less than Jeremy Oden after they said the votes wouldn't count. I mean, maybe there will be a recount there just to see what the numbers are like, but I don't think we've heard the end of this from Jim Bonner's camp.
All right, we'll talk about this more coming up. Midday Mobile today, live from the Ben May branch of the Mobile Public Library, kicking off their summer reading series. We'll be out there and talking more Alabama politics. Love to hear from you. And remember, summer better, get it? Summer better than others. Our brand new contest here at FM Talk 106.5 with winners right here at home in Mobile and Baldwin County. You can win over $5,000 worth of goodies in the grand prize. The contest starts in earnest next week, but go check it out. See our sponsors and get ready to win with FM Talk 106.5. All right, Laura Ingram Show on the way next.